You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we're powered by SID Media. What a beautiful songless takeover we have had there. So right now we're going into our next conversation where we're going to be speaking to Pastor Michael Maforo. My Pastor Michael Maforo there. We're speaking about all things salvation this week. And today, to kick it off, we're speaking about why salvation matters, right? In religion and theology, salvation generally refers to the deliverance of one's soul from sin and its consequences. But does it matter if I'm saved or not? I mean, like, really now? It's right, you know. So Pastor Michael Maforo is joining us on the line to help us navigate this topic and understand if ngempela it matters. I'm full. Good morning, how are you?
Good morning, how are you?
We are good, Pastor. Are you well?
I'm tired.
Excuse me.
I know why you laugh like that.
I was not ready. Like, why wouldn't you? In the midst of the people, power to command in the radio.
It's fine. Forgive me. Let's continue. Greetings to everybody. Greetings to everybody that is listening to us.
Amen. Please pray for us before we start on this one.
Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for a time to study and a time to understand your word and a time to understand your principles. Help us, therefore, to comprehend in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. I'm going to say, you know, we may go to dictionaries, we may Google and find the definition of salvation, but I would like to hear from you, Pastor Wam. What is salvation?
Well, salvation is being saved. That's what it simply means. It's being saved. Obviously, we assume that people know what we are being saved from. Mm. But obviously, in a theological concept, we're dealing with people being saved from their sins, their life conditions that are sinful, that people are born in sin, as we will discover as we go on. And then we believe that there has been, obviously, for you to be saved, there was a savior, or there is a savior that then saves you or preserves you or delivers you from the sins and ushers you into safety or eternal life as we would want to have it.
Does it matter that one is saved? Does salvation matter? Why do we need salvation? Like, does it matter? Like, does it matter that there's this thing called salvation and we need it?
Yeah, two things. Simply, number one, from the simplicity of the word, it's like saying, does it matter if I want to be rich? From the simplicity of the word, if there's any salvation whatsoever, it matters. The fact that it is a positive word, it matters. Everybody needs it somewhere, somehow. Mm. Just like I said, does it matter to be happy? Mm. Before you even consider happy in what condition, whatever,
yeah.
The first statement that jumps up, in all simplicity, by the way, yes, it matters. Pardon me, my voice is a bit hoarse from the camp meeting that we had.
No but problem.
The point is, we need to be... we need to be saved. It's important. It's a necessity. It's something that everybody requires. Understanding what we need to be saved from then becomes number two. That's a different condition altogether, which I'm assuming that's where your question is.
I'm going there.
That really matter for people to be saved. Mm-hmm. So we need to then understand, because sometimes people don't know that they need to be saved until they understand the condition that they are in. Then they will be saved. It's like driving on the highway or on the freeway, and then someone keeps hooting, you know, like and hooting or flashing their lights, and you keep driving because you probably are not aware of why they are doing that. And it is until probably they come closer and they lower their window, if they can be, if the situation may allow, and then they will tell you that your keys are hanging on the, you know, like if you're driving, probably maybe a buggy, and say your keys are hanging from your canopy at the back, you know, That's happened to me, by the way, at one time. I had to let somebody know their keys were hanging because they were just driving on the freeway. They didn't know. Now, what that may mean is because they don't know, they may park the car and someone may snatch the keys.
Yes.
All right. And then that means that they now may have a problem with having the car. But let's make it a bit deeper. Let's just say you're driving on the highway and someone keeps hooting and they're saying that probably they're letting you know that the road ends right in front of you, right? And you don't know, but this person is experienced. They know this road, but you normally you're supposed to maybe have turned to the right lane or to the left lane, depending. You're continuing to drive on the fast east lane. And then someone is saying to you, is hooting, but you don't know why they are hooting. It is when you realize the danger of salvation. I mean, of the danger that you are in, that you will need salvation. So the challenge we have, Zama, quickly, before I confuse you, the challenge we have is that salvation is for everyone. But there are some who are not yet aware that they need salvation. They are driving on the fast lane, which is fast leading to a dead end. And they don't know that. It becomes then the duty of, which may be a secondary discussion later, it then becomes a duty of the one who has been saved to then communicate the message or the good news, for lack of a better word, of salvation, so that the person who is in need of salvation may be aware. Otherwise, the reason why most people are not yet saved is not because they don't want to be saved. It is because they are not aware. They are ignorant of their current conditions. That's why they don't see that salvation is paramount to them, is important to them.
Yazi, I hear you, Mfundi Swamine. So what are we being saved from? You know, are we being saved from ourselves? Are we being saved from our parents? Are we being saved from our toxic friends and family members? What is it that we are being saved from? Like, salvation from what?
Okay, friends, family members, toxicity, life situations, and all those things are just but secondary things that come in with the blessing of salvation. I've got to be careful with my words right now. That come in with the advantage of salvation. We don't necessarily need to be saved from life situations per se, where there is poverty, hunger, and et cetera, et cetera. All these are the things that are happening when a person is not saved, you know. But what we need, because those are simply products or byproducts of salvation, but what we need to be saved from is sin. Now, here's the thing. This world, when it was first initially created by the Creator, now that assumes you know there is a Creator, okay? Who in this, for the purposes of this discussion, we will refer to as God, okay? So God, being the Creator, created a perfect world. He created a perfect world that was free from sin. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When he created, there was nothing imperfect. And the earth was in no need for a savior. Automatically, the earth was in no need of a messiah. When I say earth, by the way, I am speaking in reference to every person that lives on the earth, primarily human beings, so that we can have a clear distinction right there. When I say earth, I'm referring to man, humankind, or people in general. Okay, so when God created, he created a perfect world. This was a perfect world that was in I'm trying to find the best word. It was perfect to the extent that it was an extension of the kingdom of God.
Okay.
All right. Genesis 1, verse 26. Let us make man in our image. That the word image there is not just the body, the physical appearance, but it is sync or unison in mind, in thought, principle, and act. Everything that was being, that was found on earth was an extension of who God is. So God is perfect. Like the Bible says that be ye perfect as your Father is perfect. There was nothing. The propensities and inclinations of man were forever good. The thoughts of man were good thoughts. The inclinations, they were inclined to do good. Man was inclined to forever do good. The first thing right now, if I ask you a simple question and I say, what is your name?
Zanel.
Unknown to yourself, and listen, unknown to yourself psychologically, in that split second, there are many thoughts that run in your head. And amongst the thoughts that run in your head, in that millisecond, your brain is inclined to lie.
Okay.
Because you were quick to say, Zanel, because it's me who's asking.
Yes.
You know me. Trust me, and it's on a show.
Yes.
But if it were at the mall and you meet up with a stranger, okay, someone that you are not comfortable with or someone that you don't know, and they come up to you and say, what is your name? It's a very simple question. But before you go, before you give them your name, you have questions. Why are they asking my name?
Yeah.
And chances, millions of thoughts that come into your head at that split second, you are bound to lie. You're bound to give a different name. Even if you may give a true name, but that thought of lying would pass your mind. The reason, because your inclinations are no longer inclined to do good. They are now inclined to evil. You understand? Which is the condition that we are in, because we were created with the inclinations and propensities of doing good. But when sin came in, which is also another, you will notice I'm just shelving quite a few principles, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying. I was Anele. I'm trying to be as...
I'm not saying anything. I'm listening.
Okay. I'm just trying to be as simple and be the teacher in me is actually coming out. And I'm blessed, by the way. And now I want to make this easier for everybody, that the inclinations of man, don't forget this, it's a very, very important point. The inclinations of man and the propensities of man or the thoughts of man were ever inclined to do good.
Okay.
But when sin came, which is another topic or another discussion which we may look at later, when sin came, then man was inclined to do evil, which becomes a problem because we are now living in a perfect world, but that has been marred by sin. And now the center does not balance now, because now people, where it was easier for us to do good, we are now having the temptation to do evil. We are now having the inclinations to do bad. And so before you do any good thing, you have to think twice. Does it deserve it? Or should I do good? Or should I? But it is safer to lie. It is more easier to do evil than it is to do right. Okay. Our listeners will understand where I'm coming from. And so now we then need to be shifted from the evil inclinations and propensities and to be restored back to the rightful place where we belong, to our rightful nature, which is good. But now, because we are sin, we have our inclinations to do evil, we are now on the fast lane to death, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The consequences of sin is death. So the condition that we are in, which are inclinations to do evil, will one day lead us to death. We then need to be translated or to be saved or to be moved from a level of sin to a level of righteousness. That process of transposition or that process of movement from heading to death to life needs the one who will transport, which becomes the savior. to bring in the process of movement from death to life, which is salvation. So you need the Savior to give you salvation. Then this is equal to be saved. When a person has moved from death to life, then that person is saved. Then we can say that person has received salvation. So I know I've gone around, but to answer you with that whole background of answers, we're simply saying it is important, it is necessary for men to be saved from sin, because the consequences of sin is death.
Hmm. Do we have a choice, though, in this whole act of salvation? And I think this one, Mpundisi, we might dwell much on it, one of these days when we are forever speaking, because here we are, we have Jesus. Let me speak like I'm not a Christian. We have this dude who decides to come on earth, and then he decides to die for people. Did the people have a choice? Did they say, Jesus, please come die for us? Or he just decided, Nji, to come and say, my people, I'll die for you. Do we have a choice in the salvation situation?
Okay. Remember the earth, the perfect earth that we talked about, mm-hmm. that God created, right? That perfect earth was so perfect to the extent that God extended who he is to human beings. Now, who is God? God is not just perfect, but he has the ability to choose. Okay? He has the ability to make his own independent decisions.
Okay.
Without being coerced or without being influenced, he has the power to choose what he wants to do. He is God. That divine ability, he extended it to his creatures, which is human beings,
mm-hmm.
the only creatures that have that divine ability, the ability to choose. So how do we know that? Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. When God had created a perfect world and a perfect garden, he gave men the power of choice.
Okay.
To assure that he gives them that choice, he was then obliged to present something on the earth that will have him exercise that ability. Not so that men can sin, but so that men can exercise his ability in perfection, or his perfection to the fullest, or 100%.
Mm.
I'm getting a bit deeper here. Please follow me. When it would not be fair, because I know people who say, why did God put the tree in the first place, in the garden? Why didn't he just remove it and we continue living? See, if he did that, then he wouldn't have created a perfect world. You see that?
Yes.
He needed, it's like Zanele's car that goes up to 200 and something but never reaches there. It only drives up to 80 and drives up to 120 if she's fast. I was fast today, I was driving 120 and the poor car looks back. It is does not have the ability to speak, but will say, if only you knew how far I can go. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It has not been used to 100%. But the fact that your car ends with 260 or 240, I don't know. But the fact that the car ends with 260, it is meant. You know, someone say it again. Why do we have speed limits and they sell us cars that go beyond the speed limit? Why don't they just give us cars that? It's the same question. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. It then gives you the power of choice, where you can then choose to go beyond, or you can choose to go by the limit.
Mm.
The speed limit is put there not so that you can sin or so that you can break the law. No, it is placed there so that you can remain alive. The speed limit has been put there not so that it can trap people to break the law.
Mm.
No, it has been placed there to preserve life, continue so that people can enjoy the cars that they have and they can get to where they want to go safely. The one who put the road markings, he knows why he has put the road markings. Someone says, why do we have to have curves? Why don't they just put a straight line that goes from one place to there without curving and whatever?
Yes.
Curves have been put there so that, one, you can enjoy the drive. Secondly, so that it can keep you alive and awake. If it was a straight line from here to Cape Town, you will get tired and you will probably, you know, it will be monotonous. So that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was placed there not as a trap for Adam and Eve, but so that Adam and Eve can exercise their power of choice to the fullest, number one, so that they can be preserved, that though they were able to go beyond, they still chose to remain faithful to the God who created them. You see, so we have a choice, and from a perfect world, God gave us a choice, and even in this imperfect world, we still have a choice to choose salvation or not. Unfortunately, Zanel, even if we have a choice, if we choose to go beyond the speed limit, we will die, and there are some people who will still choose to go beyond the speed limit. Do you understand? And so I don't know if I've shown our listeners a different perspective to this whole thing, because my burden is that people may have an aha experience, where an aha moment rather, where they will say, okay, now it makes sense, because initially we think we are forced, but when you see someone preaching on the streets, they are not trying to convince you to be a Christian. They're trying to warn you of the upcoming danger, which is inevitable. It cannot be prevented because God did not create sin, and he cannot continue with his perfect world living in and with sin. Sooner or later, he will have to destroy sin, not sinners. He will have to destroy sin. But if sinners continue in sin, they'll be destroyed along with the sin, because what he really wants to destroy initially, it is sin. So everywhere where there is sin, the purging fire of God will go. It will finyelela, if there's a word like that. It will go to where there is sin. So
But it's putting the spanner in the works, then. Eh? You have me on loudspeaker. There's feedback coming through. I'm hearing myself.
Is there a feedback?
Yeah, from your side.
Right. Let me try this. Is it different?
I think so. Yes. It's lovely now. It's perfect. Okay. Guess no. Okay. Yes. But it's putting the spanner in the works. I agree. We don't use the other one. The other phrase.
Yes.
You know, you're saying that, you know, whenever we're seeing these people preaching, that it's not like, you know, they are forcing us and stuff like that. But in reality, or in other perspectives, when we're looking at it, whenever the issue of salvation is being preached, but we don't have a choice. We don't have a choice, because here we are given a God who will heal me, who is a provider, who is closer than a... You know, we're given this God who is... Yonke into that we need. So therefore, I don't have a choice than to choose him, because like now you see my voice is weird. I have flu. I need healing. So obviously, I will choose this God because I need healing, you know? Isn't it that making it not us have a choice, because we're given a God who is everything that we need as people. But what if we're given that God, you know, that one in the Old Testament, you know, who was killing people? Do you think people were going to accept him? You know, if we're told that one, good, yay, this God, if you sin, you die. Because as much as scripture saying that the result of sin is death, but it's not like you sin now and then, boom, you're dead. People don't see it like that, Mfundisi. It's like, okay, you sin, there's grace. You don't sin now and then you die. So if we're given that God, that, hey, this one, he will strike you, like Uzuba and Rihanna, who tied the ark, Uzai. Would people really choose this salvation?
It's quite unfortunate. I don't know if that's the perfect word, when, as I nail it, to say that people think that we are not given that kind of a God, because he says in his word, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he doesn't change. It's simply an understanding of different dispensations, probably. Maybe that would be another lesson some other day. But we still have the same God who says the soul that sinneth shall die, as he says in Ezekiel, soul that sinneth shall die. He is still the same. It is only that we are now living in a post Christian era or Christ era, where Christ has already died, and not the pre or the Christ era. The reason is very simple. Like I said before, right now, people don't know that the life that they are living in sin, that is fast leading to death. Fast leading to death. The consequences may be slow, which is very dangerous. But better were those guys in the Old Testament where the justice was done there and there, and there was no tomorrow, whatever, because theirs was a fast way to understanding. But ours is a slow poison, which I think is more dangerous, because most people think then that being a Christian or accepting Christ is foolishness, as Paul would say it, and is not worth it, because they don't see the consequences there and there. But you are like someone who is born in a family that has cancer, you know. The chances of you having cancer are more. You may not realize it, but you may have, your body is more susceptible to cancerous cells than the one who is not. And if you continue living a reckless life and not watching what you are eating, you are going to end up having the cancer. So you better off not be part and parcel of a reckless lifestyle. You are rather safer than sore, you know, because by the time you are diagnosed, chances are high, the probability may be that it may be incurable. Okay, I must be careful again with my words. But then the fact that we may not see the imminent consequences of sin does not mean that they are not there. The delay in judgment does not mean that judgment has been denied. Delayment is not denial. It shall be saved. And we are not being told that, you know, we need that God who heals, which is true. We need that God who delivers, which is true. We need that God who provides, which is true. But then at the same time, there is something better than healing, because healing is a byproduct of salvation. The better things than driving a nice car, you know, all those other things. I didn't say anything, but those are byproducts of salvation. God would have extended his salvation to us, then we enjoy all these other things. But our God is bigger than having a nice car, a nice house. Even the heathens can have that. You understand? It's really not the business of heaven. But God wants us, above everything else, to realize our sinful nature, and that we have been born in sin, and that it was not his plan for us to be born in sin, and that he has provided a way in which we can step to the right side and be in the pathway to deliverance, and be in the pathway to life, so that we will not die the second death, or that we will not die in sin, or we will not suffer the consequences of sin. Because let's face it, friends, we are living in a sinful world. People are very evil. They are so evil to I don't know what explanation I can give. We've got kids or children that are being raped and killed. You know, we right now in most South Africa, we have a case, whether it's true or not, it's still being investigated, of one of us who was heavily assaulted in a certain country, you know, And you can tell from the video and the pictures that this person was beaten, was hit. And whether it's true or not, but we're living in a world which is evil. You look at the previous pandemic that we are still in and slowly trying to fight ourselves to come out of, which is COVID. I have a friend of mine who still denies that they had COVID. But anyway, I won't mention their name.
But come with the receipt, Mfundisi. Tell us, who is it? Don't worry. It's a safe space. No one is listening.
It shows you that we're living in an evil world.
Yeah.
A very evil world. We've got kids that are being starved and being locked in houses and not being given their rights to education and to a whole lot of things. And then we have got the crime rate, which is very high. Mm. People, regardless of where you're staying, whether you're in Miami or you're in Mzansi, it doesn't matter. Everyone is living in a high crime rate area. We have got ethnic and tribal wars that are happening, xenophobia. You mention it. It's quite a lot. We're living in an evil world, mm. a world that is sinful, right? Mm. And because we are living in, that was not the initial intention of God for us to live in such a world. And therefore, we are in transition where we are moving from death to life. God has provided a way where we are going to live in a better world. And that world, friends, whether we like it or not, is fast coming. And yeah. this old world is going to come to an end. Mm. And the suit or the clothes, your favorite shirt that you have, no matter how much you like it, because we are living in a sinful world, it grows old. That mm. should tell you something.
Indeed.
You buy a pair of sneakers today, which is brand new. The fact that you, Wena Zanele, will wear that sneaker, the fact that you, who is a sinner, has put your sinful feet in that shoe, whether the shoe likes it or not, it will grow old. That just shows you the kind of world we live in. We're living in a sinful world and there is nothing permanent.
Mm.
Everything is fast going into the past tense, including this world. Yeah. There is nothing you acquire which does not move into past tense. Those are consequences of sin. Everything that is in this world is moving into past tense, and sooner or later it will be this world. It will be better off that we die in salvation.
Mm.
We die in the hands of the one that has offered this great salvation. Hebrews says, how can we deny such a great salvation that has been, chapter 2, that has been given to us? We cannot, because God knows that if we continue in our lifestyles, we will end up dead. So he has provided a way in which we can be saved. It's not a force matter. It's a choice that we need to make, and we will be saved.
Mfundisi, thank you so much. By the way, I just need to warn you, you have given me a bubble perspective topic whilst you're busy answering there. I will be contacting you because I think sometimes, you know, we forget as people the consequences of sin. And even though we know them, but the more it's said that the results of sin is death, and we like, okay. So me in my kindergarten mind, and I'm like, are we having someone who's been who's been alive since Genesis 1 verse 1? I don't know how many years that is. Do we have someone who has not sinned ever, who has not died? Okay, let's leave the Bible times again. See again, okay. Are we then saying that every single person, pastors, whoever, who two pastors, let me not even touch them. Are we then now saying that everyone who has died is sin? It's because of sin. And then now I'm going to take it to the children. So we're going to have that conversation, Fundiswami, because I'm still troubled. And I know you're going to come with that thing, we are born sinners, but yes, I still want us to go there. So let's make a date, me and you. Now it's being about salvation, but we're going to do a Bible perspective on death and sin so that we properly clear it. Because sometimes you're like, but a one day old baby died. When did they sin? If we're going to say that all of our deaths are as a result of sin. But for today, Mfundiswami, please pray for our salvation. You know, you said that it matters. Maybe you can do an altar call there. Someone who's like, yeah, Mfundiswami, I heard you. It matters. I want to be saved.
Yes, thank you so much for that opportunity. We want to extend it actually to everyone else who is listening to us, whether now or will listen to our podcast later, to say that we definitely and desperately are in need of sin, whether we of salvation, whether we realize it or not. We are desperately in need of salvation, and I want to invite you, if you may. Follow us, or if you listen to the end of this broadcast, and as you continue to listen, there are avenues with which you can be, which you will be given, like contact details, as well as places on our social platforms where you can reach out to us. If you are listening and you are in need of probably more explanation or prayer or Bible to understand better, and to obviously maybe be baptized, you know, and embrace the full measure of salvation in its fullness. If you have that desire, let us pray together, and please do get in touch with us. I would love to hear more from you, and would love to answer the questions that you may have, and we would love all of us to be saved. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for showing us yet another window, bit by bit, as we study. Help us to comprehend, to understand this great plan of salvation and how to attain it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much. Till we chat again tomorrow, let me give the listeners that number in case they do want to say, please pray for me. Have yourself a blessed day, Mfundisi.
Bye.
Part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520, or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Indeed, from broadcast to baptism, let us quickly go to our devotion, courtesy of Pastor Steins Marandure.